In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Welcome. This is the iSpy Radio Show, helping you to get a little more intelligence on big government. If this is your first time listening, a special welcome to you. A few weeks ago, we just started on KWVR in Enterprise, Oregon. We're very pleased to be there. This week, we'd like to welcome two news stations, KFIR in Albany, which can be heard throughout the Willamette Valley, all the way from the south side of Portland to Roseburg, over toward Newport and halfway to Bend. We are pleased and honored to be here. And we're also pleased and honored to be on KWRO in Coquille, which can be heard all along the southern coast from Yahats to Brookings and inland southeast towards Grant Pass and northeast toward Eugene. A big thank you to all of our new stations, and for you listeners out there, we hope we'll become a part of your regular radio lineup. Before we get going, a quick word about us and what we do. We are conservative. We tend to focus on issues that are more statewide or even national in scope and apply to what's happening or will happen here in Oregon. As we like to say, Oregon is often the petri dish for far-left policies, whether it's environmental, healthcare, or economics. We're not a typical talk show with callers. We have one or sometimes two guests on for the whole hour, which allows us to really go in-depth on their issue. No sound bites here. Other shows tend to focus on the who, what, and where, but because of our format, we focus more on the how and why. There's no shouting here. We don't have guests on just to yell at them. That seems to be the thing nowadays on a lot of conservative shows, especially on TV. Let's have people on we disagree with and then shout at them. I suppose that's entertaining, like intellectual mud wrestling, but what did you really learn at the end of it? And that's really our goal here. We hope that at the end of our show, you'll have learned something. On today's show, we're talking about Christian persecution. In the larger context, it's about standing up for yourself, for your beliefs. It's about standing your ground, not giving ground. And it's about doing so when standing your ground could cost you your life. Here in America, we're blessed to be mostly free of persecution, but there is definitely discrimination against Christians. And discrimination is the seed that, if allowed to grow, will become persecution. America is under assault, especially our values. And that's a true shame. In a cruel and senseless world, God is often the only thing that makes sense. Our American heritage is built on that faith. To attack the religious underpinnings of our heritage and to remove God is to leave the next generation without the foundations they need to stand on to make sense of the senseless. It is removing the landmarks on the journey. Without the Judeo-Christian heritage, without Christianity, there would be no America. I'd like to welcome now David Curry. He is the president and CEO of Open Doors. He advocates on behalf of those who are persecuted for their Christian faith. He provides leadership to Open Doors USA on its mission to strengthen and equip Christians living under extreme restrictions while encouraging them to remain strong in their faith. Their website, opendoorsusa.org. David, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you, Mark. It's so pleasant to be with you all in Oregon and talking to your wonderful listeners.
Well, and thank you for joining us. You know, Open Doors, a lot of people probably have heard of its founder, Brother Andrew. They may have heard of him from his book, God Smuggler. He was based in the Netherlands there. Brother Andrew smuggled millions of Bibles, I believe, into Eastern Europe behind the Iron Curtain. So what a great start to your guys' story. And since then, you guys have been standing up for persecuted Christians all around the world. Let's kind of start by understanding the problem. Certainly here in the U.S., Christians are discriminated against by individuals, but seemingly now by our own government sometimes. But there's a difference, of course, between discrimination and persecution. So when you guys say that Christians are persecuted, give us an overview of what that means and what it looks like.
Well, we really try to distinguish carefully what kinds of persecution are happening around the world in the various regions. And we document our research. We have researchers on the ground in these countries. We document it in what we call the World Watch List, which we produce every January, that covers all of the regions of the world and the ways in which Christians are persecuted. And broadly speaking, we can go deeper into it as you wish. But broadly speaking, we look at what we call the smash and the squeeze, and it's the general idea that sometimes when there's persecution, it comes like a smash. It's bombings and attacks, and you have Christians being killed. Other times, it's very quiet. But it's like a squeeze. It's like the life is being slowly squeezed out of them. You say, well, what would be an example? When you look at the World Watch List, you see a country like Saudi Arabia, which is number 12 on the World Watch List. It's quite high. There has to be significant levels of persecution to get within the top 20. But a country like Saudi Arabia, there isn't any violence against Christian, generally speaking, but they're totally squeezed out of the picture. They don't have freedom to read scripture, so you can't illegally print. There are no illegal churches there for Saudi citizens. So there, if you choose to follow Jesus, you are ostracized from the community at a minimum, right? But you don't have any bombings. You're not going to read a story tomorrow about a bombing of a church in Saudi Arabia, because it doesn't exist. It's not there. That's the difference between the smash and the squeeze. In countries where there are a lot of Christians and they have churches, you have radicals or governments or dictators that will physically attack Christians. And that's what most people think of as persecution: ISIS attacking churches, sure, ISIS executing people. But the greatest majority, I would say, is the squeeze. It's just the pressure put on Christians in various countries and regions around the world.
So your website says for over 60 years, Open Doors has worked in the world's most oppressive countries, empowering Christians who are persecuted for their beliefs, and that you equip persecuted Christians. So what exactly do you guys do?
Well, you mentioned Brother Andrew. When we started 60-plus years ago, we were smuggling Bibles. We essentially set the goal that we wanted to make sure that the closed part of the world, and in that time we viewed that as the Soviet Union, that those believers there, that people who were curious about the Bible, could have access to read and decide for themselves their faith and whether to follow Jesus. So we smuggled Bibles in growing sophistication, and then we evolved into China. We saw that as a very closed country and did a lot of work for 30-plus years there. As time evolved, we began to see the growing threat of Islamo-fascist behavior, this extremist behavior that we see in Al-Qaeda, in Al-Shabaab, which is a country associated with Al-Qaeda, in Somalia and other regions, and then there's another group called Boko Haram. There are different names and tags. ISIS is another one. They're variants on the theme. And so we began to work in Muslim countries. So what we do, Mark, is we try to assess in each of these different regions what is the challenge that the church faces and what is it they need to first survive. We have to determine that. Church doesn't always grow under persecution, which is a well-worn mythology. Sometimes it grows when the conditions are right, but other times the church struggles and shrivels.
Sure.
And so what we try to determine is what can we do to help it survive first and then thrive, ideally, by supporting. And so it varies. Sometimes it's still Bible smuggling. Other times it's technical assistance. Sometimes it's training. Often it's helping people to understand the scriptural reference for persecution and how they can stand strong in the storm.
Well, and one of the great things that I like about your organization is that you offer tools for Christians to use to help some of these persecuted these Christians in these far-flung areas. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll talk about that later in the show. But coming up, we're going to be talking about some examples of Christian persecution that is largely ignored by the media. We'll look at three examples, including the worst country in the world for Christians. It may not be the one that you think it is. Stick around that and more with David Curry, President and CEO of Open Doors USA. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to David Curry. He's the President and CEO of Open Doors USA. Their website is simply opendoorsusa.org. David advocates on behalf of those who are persecuted for their Christian faith, providing leadership to Open Doors USA on its mission to strengthen and equip Christians living under extreme restrictions. You know, I'd actually like to talk a little bit about some of these top persecutors around the world, but as far as the persecution of Christians face, is it unique? I mean, do Muslims or Hindus or Buddhists or any of these other religions face the same physical violence, beheadings, assault, and so on when those religious groups are minorities within Christian nations?
Well, broadly speaking, there's religious persecution in all manner of directions, but Christians are the largest Christian religious minority. And you say, well, help me unpack that. Well, Christians are 60, you know, there's 65 million Christians in India, for example, in a country with, you know, a couple billion people. So there's a lot of them in India, but they are a persecuted minority. Muslims are also persecuted, and they're a much smaller group in India, but they can be persecuted. But even with all of the variations on the theme, might say the Sunni and Shia factions within the Muslim faith are at each other a fair amount. But even considering all those things, the persecution against Christians is most acute over the last 4 to 5 years. It's gotten significantly more widespread, and it's been more intentional. And you see groups like ISIS targeting them and others. It's just one of them. So it is unique in its definition and in its characteristics.
Well, you mentioned India. That was actually one of the surprising things as we were going through your website, is that India is actually one of the top persecutors of Christians. The Hindu nationalist movement in India is looking to wipe out any religious expression, including Christianity, that falls outside the Hindu faith. I mean, that was really surprising that, you know, here the religion of Gandhi, who's known for his non-aggression, and the Hindus are persecuting Christians. Also on your website, you talk about drug cartels. I like this quote, "A soul won for Jesus is a soul lost for them," said one pastor from Colombia. But then, of course, the big one, and I think a lot of people, when you hear about the, you know, maybe the worst place in the world for Christians, I think a lot of people reflexively think of China as being the most dangerous country in the world for Christians. But according to your ranking, it's actually North Korea, and has been number one most dangerous for Christians for 17 years in a row. So talk to us about the kind of persecution that Christians face there in North Korea, and what makes them the worst place, worse than places like China.
Well, all the countries you mentioned, what's interesting about them is that they have totally different characteristics. Mm. North Korea, at number one for 17 years in a row, is a communist dictatorship that is also has religious overtones, because each of the preceding dictators have built a religion around this family. Kim Jong-un is the most current, but his father and his grandfather before them, they've created a religion where you need to worship the dictator.
Yes.
So you've got a bunch of different connections there that make it a very difficult place for Christians. So since 1945, 46, 47, you've had this ratcheting up of pressure. Many Christians left the country at the end of the Korean War, but some remained. And those that did remain were categorized as enemies of the state. And that has hung on. And they've used the power of the police state. They've used labor camps and other things to make it very difficult for Christians. If you go on the State Department website or some of the governmental observations, they'll say there isn't really a Christian presence there. We believe that there is. We have extensive connections and networks in the country, as you might imagine. And there could be as many as 400,000 followers of Jesus in North Korea. We also know, however, that a good number of them are in labor camps, as few as 50,000, as many as 80,000 in labor camps in North Korea. So that's part of what makes it the most difficult place, and has been for Christians for a long time. That is even considering the difficulty in reporting on these types of things in North Korea, because we may be able to identify some folks that go into labor camps, but it's very difficult for us to know if they're ever going to come out or what has happened to them, because they typically have long sentences. Many will die in labor camps because of starvation or other methodologies. of torture, and so we don't know for a long time, if ever, what the condition of these Christians is within the camps. With the progress, the seeming progress being made in discussions with South Korea, with the North Korean folks, the summit that seems to be on the horizon with President Trump, one of the things we're encouraging is for us to not just think of these negotiations with North Korea through the lens of denuclearizing the peninsula, but to think in terms of the humanitarian issues here, particularly around Christians, but others. Is it possible that as a concession we could get North Korean folks to release some of these prisoners of conscience?
Would be absolutely astounding if that happened.
Wouldn't it?
But we've already seen, you know, maybe there's some hope there because three prisoners, you know, Kim Jong just said that he was going to release three of these prisoners that America has been after to try to get those. You know, you mentioned the fact that Christianity is considered an enemy of the state, and I think that's very insightful because, you know, and that's one of the reasons that they are where they are is because they're so totally closed off to Western ideology, which is based on Judeo-Christian mindset. I mean, in that sense, Christianity is diametrically opposed to what's going on there in communism, in communist North Korea. Let's actually take a break there because I still want to deal with some issues here with North Korea and what potential peace there on the peninsula might mean, not only for Christians, but also some broader implications as well. And we still have two of the other top 20 to deal with as well. Stay with us. Selling or buying a home can be an intimate business. You've got open house days with strangers coming through. Maybe your finances are a little tricky. You need someone you can trust. But you also need someone who's tough, someone to get you the best price. Debbie McMillan is both tough and trustworthy. If you or someone you know is getting ready to move into, out of, or within the Mid-Willamette Valley, Debbie McMillan knows great homes and how to sell them. Debbie is with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Northwest Real Estate Professionals. That's a mouthful, but all you need to remember is DebbieMcMillanHomes.com. That's Debbie McMillan, MCM, DebbieMcMillanHomes.com. And welcome back. This is the iSpire Radio Show. Talking today to David Curry. He is the president and CEO of Open Doors. Open Doors USA is a community of Christians who come together to support persecuted believers in more than 60 countries. Their website is opendoorsusa.org. And we were talking about North Korea there, and it's really exciting to see that maybe we might have some peace there between the Koreas, but you have an interesting quote there on your website, is that, remember the smiling man who just crossed from North Korea to South Korea in today's ceremony is the same man who has ordered countless murders and imprisonment in a place that Open Doors World Watch List has ranked for 17 years as the most dangerous country in the world to be a Christian. So I think that's really important to remember here, as we all hope that peace might come out of this. But there is that summit upcoming between the two. I mean, what would peace between the two Koreas mean for Christians in North Korea if they do start opening up? What would that look like?
It would be absolutely tremendous because there's such a pressure on Christian faith there. Here's the question, though, and we've been through this yo-yo effect, yes, with North Korea, and I don't want to be the one to throw cold water on it. But one of the things we've recommended to the Trump administration as a discussion point is that rather than just look at the words that we're saying in these negotiations that are being said to us and the promises that are being made, there are a few things you can do on the humanitarian side which would show immediate benefit. Here's one, for example. Allowing access to the prisons and labor camps by the Red Cross and the UN Commission on Inquiry. My sense is that if they're serious about being a part of the peaceful community of nations, this is something they're going to have to do. But of course, that's a lot more difficult than promising never to build a bomb, which people can then hide and obfuscate and so forth. If they are willing to show an openness to the access to the prisons by the Red Cross and the UN Commission on Inquiry, that would be a giant signal that they really are serious about some level of transparency. It's hard to imagine them doing that,
yeah,
because of what's happened. But that shows you why we need to be sober-minded about this, because, of course, as soon as these prisoners are able to talk in the open media about what has happened, or that the Red Cross or the UN can do a report on it with total transparency, then the gig is up on Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, what a peek behind the curtain that will be. You know, apologies are one thing. It's the actions thereafter that mean something. So let's move on to Nigeria. This is another one of the top 20, I believe. And just this week, Trump in the White House mentioned the persecution of Christians in Nigeria. He had that meeting there with the president of Nigeria. And he said that we have Christians being murdered and killed in Nigeria. We're going to be working on that problem because we can't allow that to happen anymore. So what do Christians endure there in Nigeria?
Nigeria is an interesting country because it's really encapsulating a lot of the persecution that you see across the African continent. Well, what do I mean by that? The African continent has a lot of Christians in the population to the south, in the southern part of the continent. And the north is typically run by extremist or Sharia law Islamic governments. Nigeria is literally split in half. You have the northern part, which is run under Sharia law, extremists in both the tribal sense and in the organized Al Qaeda sense. Boko Haram is the name of the group, but they're associated with ISIS and Al Qaeda. Same tactics. And in the northern part of the country, they have been attacking Christians at an unprecedented rate. Many, many more people died in Nigeria. I think 2,000 believers we can document were killed. More than that, certainly, but what we can document last year alone. The next closest was Central African Republic, where 500 were killed. And then after that, Congo, where 136. So by a significant factor, Nigeria, just in the north, is the most dangerous place as far as the loss of life on Christians. And it comes under attacks on tribes that were historic villages where Christians have historically lived. They come in, they shoot, they kill, they attack. There's another factor, and that is one that the president was referring to as well in his speech on Monday, is Fulani herdsmen. These are a group of nomadic Muslim folks, of which President Buhari from Nigeria is part of their system. He comes from the Fulani tribe, and they have been, even as recent as last week, having raids on villages, killing. Their rationale is that, well, we used to roam these lands with our herds, but they're a sophisticated terrorist group at this stage.
Well, and horrible too. And looking through your website there, they come in and they drive these cattle onto these farms. And they just let the cattle go in and eat and destroy the crops there, leaving the villages devastated. And if you stand up to them at all or try to, shoo them away, they will come in and destroy the entire village.
Yeah. And because of the president's association, President Buhari's association with them, very little has been said or done. So we're really hoping, and we were very happy that the president, in his meeting with Buhari, brought this up. It needs to be discussed. It's not just Boko Haram and Al-Qaeda. It's also this tribal group, which is attacking Christians. So very difficult in Nigeria, and it's going to take an action on behalf of their government to control it.
Yeah, well, I would think that Trump would have some leverage there. In terms of Africa, there's another nation that doesn't really get a lot of the attention as far as Christian persecution, and that's Egypt. The Christians were attacked after the Arab Spring when the Muslim Brotherhood came to power. They were certainly persecuted then, but then after that was removed, the Muslim Brotherhood had continued to persecute Christians because they blamed their loss of power by the Christians supporting the new president. Talk to us a little bit about what you're seeing there in Egypt.
Yeah, Egypt is tough. I've been there a couple of times, met with their embassy leaders, talked to them about this. It's one of these countries that the factors have shifted. You're right, when the Muslim Brotherhood was running the country, there was a great deal of pressure and persecution on Christians. Then the government switched. Now the government is actively trying to play a fair hand with Christians. I don't think it would be accurate to say that they're benefiting Christians, but they're giving them some rights. And I think you've seen an improvement in their relationship with the government. But you now have extremists And many, many Islamic extremists are trained in the Cairo area, the places in which they receive their training, and all these sorts of things happen in and around that area. Hmm. So you have these extremists which are trying to unsettle the government by attacking Christians and hoping that that will speak to some people who, either through illiteracy or other ways, are ignorant to what Christianity is really about, sort of using the Christians as a lever.
And what's interesting about that, too, is the doors that will then open, no pun intended there, since we are talking to David Curry of Open Doors. Let's go and take a break there, wrap up with China, wrap up with Egypt. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking about why it happens, why Christians are so vulnerable, and some surprises coming out of all of this. Stay with us. This segment of the iSpy Radio Show is sponsored by Debbie McMillan. She knows great homes and how to sell them. Head to DebbieMcMillanHomes.com. That's Debbie McMillan, MCM, DebbieMcMillanHomes.com. Open Doors USA is a community of Christians who come together to support persecuted believers in more than 60 countries. We're talking today to David Curry. He is their president and CEO. You know, an attack on Christianity is an attack on American values, which we'll come back to in the next segment. But in this segment, I'd like to talk about why so much of this happens. You know, on your website, you have a ton of stories about persecution, and one is about Saman, who was imprisoned in Iran, and he was beaten and tortured. He felt so far from God that at some point he even doubted his faith. Quoting here, he says, "I thought, is this it? Have I wasted 13 years of believing in him? Does he even exist?" That has to be a real common thing that you hear from so many of these survivors.
It really is. One of the tactics, I think, of the enemy is to isolate Christians, make them feel like they're all alone, nobody cares, nobody knows. And that's why we always want to be a presence ministry. We go, we connect, we talk to them, we pray with them. We want to rally others to care, to write, to stand up, to speak out. Because it really is a blessing for them to know wherever they're at that people know and that people care. And it's because of what you just described there, that people feel like, what's going on? It can be very disorienting.
I think one of the things that people will likely be asking themselves is, why are Christians so willing to put up with these attacks?
Well, I think what people need to understand is that when you're in some of these countries, you mentioned Iran, which is number 10 on the world watch list, they've counted the costs. Their faith is so real and so dear to them. And of course, they understand the scriptural historic reference that the New Testament, written by persecuted believers, who understood that this sort of thing is part of being, they're really persecuting Jesus. They're threatened by the message of Jesus. Kim Jong-un in North Korea is threatened. The Ayatollahs in Iran are threatened by the message of Jesus. So it's part of that chain, and they're in some ways happy to be associated with Jesus because of it. That shouldn't suggest that they willingly accept it or that they're pleased. But they know that Jesus said, "I'm persecuted." They're going to continue to persecute you because of me. And they understand and have counted the cost. So in the midst of that, God is doing really amazing things, too, for the people who are your listeners who have a personal faith. I mean, some of the stories of victory, the depth. What they learn, we need. We need that. Yeah. So we can get a lot of growth in our faith when we hear these stories.
Yeah, well, I think that is certainly one of the things that's really interesting on your website. And we'll spotlight some of those on our website, iSpyRadio.com. Just look for today's show page, and we'll put links to those videos and whatnot. Because what's amazing when you listen to some of those videos and the terrible things that these Christians have gone through, and you think to yourself, why not just leave? You know, get away from there. But it's interesting. You hear these survivors, and what they say is they're meant to be there. Who else would share God's love with these people if not for them? It's not that they're happy to go through this persecution, but it gives them that open door. And I think especially of that the one video there where you've got this attack in Egypt. And it was one of these church bombings. And this widower of this woman who was killed in a Palm Sunday bombing outside of a Coptic church right in front of her kids. And the survivor is saying, you know, God is revealing his love to the people of Egypt through what happened. And the pain and agony are like seeds growing up through the soil of our country to produce the fruit of the gospel. And so God is using those events to really open the door for evangelism. And I think that's so incredible when you think how God is able to turn this tragedy around and start opening the doors to Muslims. Because, you know, especially in terms of Muslims, you know, when you look at their faith, there's no equivalent there. It has to be baffling to Muslims to watch these attacks on Christians only to have them turn around and respond with love and forgiveness and acceptance to the Muslim community. For a Muslim whose religion is about world domination, there's just no equivalent for that in the Muslim faith of forgiving those who wrong you, of turning the other cheek, of loving those who hate you. I mean, there's a power there that they just can't fathom.
It is it's an incredibly powerful testimony. I visited some Muslim refugees who had escaped ISIS and the Syrian regime crisis over the civil war over the last few years. And what was amazing was, to your point, the testimony of Lebanese Christians and Syrian Christians who are helping Muslims even as they have been persecuted. So it really does speak volumes.
And, you know, I think another question people have is, why is nothing being done? Because, you know, we defend Muslims, we stand up for racial minorities all around the world. Why does it seem nothing is really being done to help Christians who are so endemic to American values?
Well, I think that's a great question. Let me tie it into a statement you made earlier about why don't Christians escape. By the way, Open Doors never tries to help people get out of these areas. Because we believe fundamentally the best thing for Syria is a strong Syrian church. Hmm. Not for American missionaries to go there, but that the Syrian believers are strong and reaching out. So we, in a sense, we're saying let's not first be an escape hatch for immigrants around the world when we really need Christians to be able to stay there. That's why we fight so hard and advocate so much for people to be able to stay in their homeland. And surprisingly, for some people, they want to live in their home countries. They don't want to leave. So I think that's important. But to answer more directly the second half of your question, people don't realize for a number of reasons, one of which is unless this counter, is somehow at a cross purpose with the media, you don't hear about a lot of these stories. Yeah. Let me flesh that out. ISIS was happening. The narrative from the Obama administration and in the media was these are gangsters. This has nothing to do with religion. They refused to identify it as a genocide for years. When they did their crisis mapping, they would say, well, they're gangsters, it's tribal, it's Sunni, it's Shia. But they did not, they said, it's not religious in nature. Despite the fact that ISIS said, our stated purpose is to drive out Christians.
It's just crazy.
Right?
Yeah. So just crazy. Oh, okay. We're up against a break here. Everyone stay with us. We're going to have more with David Curry, the president and CEO of Open Doors. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show, helping you every week to get a little more intelligence on big government. We're talking today to David Curry. He's president and CEO of Open Doors USA. They're a community of Christians who come together to support persecuted believers in more than 60 countries. Their website is opendoorsusa.org. You know, for a show that does a lot on politics and analysis, you might be wondering why we're talking about Christian persecution today. Well, one reason is because the Christian faith, despite what the mainstream media wants you to believe, despite what progressives want you to believe, Christianity is deeply tied to America's founding. Only a Judeo-Christian heritage could have given birth to the Declaration of Independence. The very idea of inalienable rights endowed by our Creator of freedom and liberty, those ideals could only possibly have come from Christianity. No other religious heritage has that view. The Hindu religion is very stratified. There is simply no equality for all in the Muslim faith. So, David, talk to us about Christianity here in America and some of the attacks you're seeing on it and on Christians.
Well, one of the factors that we look at when we are mapping this in our own organization is the rise of aggressive secularism. So you look across Western Europe, you see some of the issues that are beginning to bubble up, and certainly that's one we need to watch, to what degree are we being painted as intolerant and under that banner that people are going to try to withdraw any government support, any protection within under tax law, any continue to raise issues around zoning of churches. These kinds of things, I think, are clear and present dangers to Christian organizations, universities, schools, and we see it happening in other countries around the world. We're just beginning to see it happen here.
Well, some of what I think that we face here is the slippery slope. You see these Christians, the bakers that face these huge fines, were chased out of business basically because they didn't want to bake for a cake for a homosexual group, and then on the other a couple, I mean, and then on the other side, apparently it's perfectly okay that Muslim truck drivers don't want to be delivering beer. So what are some things that Americans here can be doing to take a stand for Christianity and get involved more?
I think a lot of moral clarity is needed, in that we can't just cherry pick these issues. We have to say we want religious liberty for everyone. And certainly Christian faith does very well when people have the ability to decide for themselves. Some people you'll see say the statistical evidence is that Islam is growing quickly. Well, that's considering that they can force conversion, and they do all over the world, that when you're born into a Muslim family, you can't ever convert out. You can't change your mind. These kinds of things. So in an open market, the believers do well. I think we need to advocate for freedom of religious expression everywhere that the U.S. government has aid and does business. So countries like India, that you mentioned earlier, number 11 on the world watch list, we're doing billions of dollars in business. They're persecuting Christians. Almost 700 cases of being imprisoned without a trial for Christians last year in India. They just passed a law yesterday in Orissa, in a sector of India, that said anti-conversion laws are going to be imposed, five-year prison cell sentence for pastors who lead people to Jesus. That's India. So they're our partner in business. We need to stand up and let our voice be heard on this.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go and take a break there, because we were running short on time here, and I'll make sure that we leave plenty of time for what people can do to get involved. Their website, one more time, is opendoorsusa.org. We're talking to David Curry, their president. Stay with us. Landmark Pacific is known for their outstanding steel buildings and general contracting. But did you know that they're also a fantastic choice to maintain your existing building? When new construction isn't an option, maintaining your existing pre-engineered steel building is absolutely imperative. Incorrect materials can greatly reduce the life of your metal roof. For metal re-roofs, repairs, or additions and remodels, call the experts at Landmark Pacific, 503-743-3256. That's 503-743-3256. And welcome back. This is the final segment here on the iSpy Radio Show, talking to David Curry. He's the president and CEO of Open Doors. Open Doors USA is a community of Christians who come together to support persecuted believers in more than 60 countries. So in this last segment, I'd really like to make sure that people know that there are things that they can do to get involved and help some of these persecuted Christians. Two of the more obvious ones, obviously, are to be praying for these Christians. The prayers really do help your fellow Christians in these other lands. But talk to us, and of course, the other one is making a donation. But talk to us about some of the other opportunities that you have there for believers here in the U.S. that can be helping these other believers across in these persecuted areas.
Well, I imagine that many of your listeners are politically active people.
Yes.
Within each of these countries and around certain key elements, we have advocacy campaigns where you can both have information that you can present to your senators and congressmen and rally around some of these to the administration, which has been very helpful, particularly the vice president's office, very helpful in moving these ideas forward. But we also have ways that you can encourage believers, where if somebody's under attack, if they've been imprisoned, we have letter writing campaigns. We did a letter writing campaign not too long ago for North Korean believers, that we delivered all of these letters from Christians there, so people could connect to it. That kind of thing, which allows you to know you are together with followers of Jesus, no matter where they may be. we want to facilitate that. But you typically just go to our website, opendoorsusa.org, and you'll see these kinds of activities where you can let your voice be heard, both to encourage others and help others, but also to rally support. Because when the Christians in this country begin to wake up to the size and the scope of persecution and let their voice be heard, things will happen. I'm guaranteed of that.
Oh, absolutely. Just to run through some of the other activities there that you've got, you can watch some videos, you can read firsthand some reports from believers on the ground in those 60 regions. There are petitions that can be signed. There's also free email updates that will keep you informed about persecution incidents around the world. And as you mentioned, sending letters to encouraged, imprisoned, or persecuted believers. I imagine that means an awful lot to somebody that is going through this to know that somebody in America, which is so often the shining city on the hill there, that somebody in America cares about them and is willing to take the time to send them a letter. That has to mean something.
It really does. I've talked to widows and folks who've lost people, and when they talk to me, the first thing they say is thanks for the letters. Well, that meant so much to me. I read them for weeks and weeks, and it encouraged them in their mourning. And I think that's a huge thing. Prayer is also important, and it's so hard to know. How do you pray for North Korean believers? So we have a frontline prayer where prayer update where we give people detail. Here, pray for this person. Here's what they're going through. But here's the situation in the country. Right now in Malaysia, they're having an election. We need to pray for believers there. There's been a lot of pressure. Number 23 on our list. It's growing in its persecution of believers. Many difficult things there. How can we pray there? That's critically important.
You mentioned Vice President Trump. Do you think Trump's making a difference in this area?
Well, we've had a long history at Open Doors of trying to be focused on ministry and working with every administration, regardless of what party they're with, of course, because we're advocating for persecuted believers.
Sure.
This administration has had such strong statements of support, really beyond what we even saw in the Bush administration. Certainly better than the Obama administration, which in our opinion was very slow to respond to this, and in many ways I think contributed to the growth of it by their inactivity and by funneling support and sort of looking the other way at key moments. So some things have been uneven. They've had negotiations and discussions with India, with Saudi Arabia, where deals seem to be struck and this never comes up. They seem to be learning. This is what's encouraging. Now Nigeria, they met, and now they're talking about it with Nigeria. So I'm hopeful that on this subject, they're going to continue to learn and evolve. Vice President Pence, I've met with him, introduced him to believers from Iraq. He's very concerned about this. I have every indication that the president, based on his statements, also is. So let's hope that we can begin to promote American values of freedom of religious expression amongst our partners.
Yes, absolutely. Well, David Curry, he is president and CEO of Open Doors USA. Their website, one more time, opendoorsusa.org. David, thank you so much for the conversation today. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We certainly hope that you're at least a little wiser for having been here. I hope today's show encourages you to not be silent, to stand up for and defend your faith, but to also recognize its importance in our heritage and that by defending your faith, you're really defending America. Be sure to check our website, ispyradio.com. You can find links to our guest website, the videos and stories we mentioned, and a whole lot more. That's ispyradio, the letter I, ispyradio.com. And be sure to share what's there because, as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.
Newt Bueller is just another never-Trumper. He even attacked Trump throughout the primary, bragging about writing in John Kasich. John Kasich? And he attacks our president to this day, even supporting the fake Russian collusion witch hunt. Sounds more like Kate Brown than a Republican. What about Sam Carpenter for governor?
There's a lot of names on the Republican primary ballot for governor. And as you can see in your voter's pamphlet, I'm the only one with the courage to stand up for a Republican president. And I've done so from the beginning. In 2016, I was the only candidate in Oregon to endorse Donald Trump for president before our primary. And I've stayed loyal to him, unwavering, ever since. Oregon needs a governor who can work with our president as a team player to make Oregon and America great again, not a never Trump resistor. I'm Sam Carpenter, Oregon's leading conservative candidate for governor, and I approve this message.
Paid for and authorized by friends of Sam Carpenter.